quarter number two. We're rolling with you till two. Appreciate you guys being with us. I want to talk a little bit about some win totals from the NFL. They're starting to come out.
Yes.
From, of course, Las Vegas and everything that comes with it. And they're usually pretty dang accurate. You know, Vegas seems to be thriving pretty much at all times. So we found out that these numbers were going to come out yesterday. And then we said between the four of us, Drew, Kevin, myself, and Stoke, all right, let's write down what our numbers are and not tell each other and then figure out how close we actually are. So should we tell our numbers first or what the actual number is?
No, let's tell our numbers first.
Okay.
I think we were, me and you were the same.
Yes.
I was between 5.5 and 6, and I went with 5.5. You were between 5.5 and 6.5.
6.5.
You went to 5.5, mm-hmm. And then those two guys behind the glass, they both went with 6.5.
6.5.
So we're all right around, not a good number, mm-hmm. I think, ultimately, is what it comes down to.
Right.
Both low numbers there.
And it was actually like I had 6.5 and switched to 5.5. And I think, Drew, didn't you do the opposite?
I started at 5.5 and went to 6.5 thinking there's no way it's going to be 5.5. Like, that's a little low.
That's okay. Really low. Really, really low.
Well, the actual number...
But they don't have a quarterback. That was my whole. That's why I went. But go ahead. What's the number? Sorry.
Okay, so that's another conversation. Right. What changes after the draft? But the number as of today for the Denver Broncos win total in 2024 is 5.5.
Yes.
You nailed it.
Yes. All right.
5.5.
I love it.
Right.
We should have bet those knuckleheads. There's no chance they could have beat us. Golly, we missed out on lunch. Dang it.
But that's the number, so let's start there. 5.5.
We thought
that's what it would be. Fair, unfair, pretty much right on the head.
Well, I mean, I guessed it. So
completely fair.
Right on the head, all of that. I mean, like, they weren't a good team last year.
No.
I thought it was miraculous that they got to 7 wins. Or
eight wins.
Eight wins, whatever it was, right? I thought that was a 6 or 7 win team. They got to 8 wins, and they got on a hot streak there after starting, 1-5?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think they were very good last year. And then now you're having to reset everything again. You don't have a quarterback. I mean, look at our two quarterbacks on the roster. Stidham and DiNucci.
Mm-hmm.
That's it
right
now. So, I mean, it can change, obviously. But right now, it's not a great situation. You had to cut Simmons. You haven't really signed any top-tier free agents. You just don't. Your cap situation is not great because of the Russ dead cap hit. So you're not in a good spot right now this year. So I think the number is perfect. I mean, that's why I went from 6 to 5.5 and kind of back to staying at 5.5 was because we don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be Stidham? I mean, if it's Stidham, do we think we're going to win 7 games? So I don't think they're going to put it at 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's spot on. You?
I do, too. Again, and it's the number we guessed, so it is exactly what we thought it was going to be. And I don't even know how much it changes, Stoke, if it's Bo Nix. You go up and get J.J. McCarthy and, you know, put everything of the future on hold for J.J. McCarthy. I don't know that it goes up much either of those guys.
It won't.
Like, it's 5.5 because of the roster. I don't know how much, again, you said Peyton Manning walks through the door. All right, add 4 or 5 wins to that. He's not. If you were
add
able to
eight.
Land.
Add 8.
8, okay, there we go. I short-sold him a bit. If you got Sam Darnold, you know, he said no and went to Minnesota. What is it, 6.5, 7.5 then?
Nah.
Like, this is a number based upon the roster.
Yes.
Quarterback's not changing too much of that because there's nothing around him.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But also, we don't have a quarterback, and there's no great one that's going to come here, like you said. So the options available at the quarterback position, they're not going to move the needle enough to all of a sudden change that.
Right.
The roster's not great. The available quarterbacks aren't great. If you get a rookie quarterback, okay, it's a rookie quarterback. That's not going to change the number, right? So it is what it is. It's going to be right around that number. You know, Vegas does it without emotion. They don't, you know, they're just putting a number out there so they can get action both ways that they think is fair. And I think that number's spot on, over under Broncos season total right now, 5.5. I mean, that's what it is. That's not us telling you that. That's Vegas telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Could be a tough one.
Yeah.
Could be a tough one this year. I think ultimately for me, what I want to see and this year is just hopefully we come out of this feeling good about a quarterback, feeling good about a young guy. Bo Nix, McCarthy, J.J. Penix, kid from Tulane.
Michael Penix.
J.J. Penix. Unbelievable. J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, the kid from Tulane.
Michael Pratt.
Michael Pratt. Spencer Rattler from South. I don't care who it is. I just want to feel optimistic about a young quarterback moving forward. And if we can do that, a little pain this year ain't the worst thing.
No, and I actually think because Broncos fans are smart, they understand what this is. Of if you have that exact that situation, the scenario you just painted, Stoke, of, all right, 5.5. Maybe they only get 4. All right, they hit the over and it's 6 wins. That's still not pretty. That's not fun. That's not what Denver Broncos football is about. But if you've identified who the quarterback is, whoever the hell ends up here come August, and they're showing signs of development. And that doesn't mean they have to have a 6-touchdown game. It means they have to get better week in and week out. It means they have to avoid making the same mistake week in and week out. That's a win in 2024 for me.
No, and then, you know, the big thing is so, look, you have a little pain, right? It's almost like, and I like the way that you phrase this when we talk about the weather in the winter, right? You're paying your taxes,
yeah.
Right? You're going through it for the summertime, for the spring, how great it is here.
Mm-hmm.
And so at a certain point, Broncos country's got to pay their tax. We got to do it, man. Just pay the damn tax.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's this year, then guess what? Okay, say we win 4 games. That stinks. That's not fun. But what does that 4 games get you? If you got a quarterback that you feel good about moving forward, that is 2 thumbs up. But it also gets you a top 5 pick, right?
Yeah.
And now you go out there and you draft a Von Miller. Oh, you get yourself a Von Miller.
Yeah.
You got your young quarterback. And now you got a top 5 pick in every round. And so you hit it out of the park in the draft. And next thing you know, you're back, right? I mean, they drafted Von Miller at number 2 overall. And then, I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5 years later, they're playing in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
So it can be done. It can be done. Obviously, Peyton Manning was in town. But that's the way I want to look at this thing. And if that's the way it happens, then hopefully we can move forward with a great draft pick and a quarterback that we feel good about.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the Batman. I think it was Harvey Dent that said, it's always darkest before the dawn or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely good old Harvey.
Yeah,
he had some great quotes.
Right?
Yeah, he had some great quotes.
You remember
there.
Two-Face.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
But you find Bo Nix, you find Michael, you find whoever the hell Sean falls in love with. Well, then we're on the verge of dawn here in Broncos country.
You know, that's a lot of thinking.
You
there.
Like that one?
No, too much thinking. I like to keep it simple.
Okay.
Mine's like, hey, is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
All right.
Give me a light at the end of the tunnel, okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
To me, that's just, I don't know what you were saying there.
Well,
a lot of big words and guy I never heard of and like. Just
Harvey
like,
did? He's Gotham City's district attorney.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'm not even a superhero guy, and I know that.
Right.
Like, I had friends and was doing stuff outside when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, but I still know that.
I respect the comic world a lot more than you do, okay? But I don't know who he is. But you took a shot at him. I won't take a shot at him.
You know what?
Because I'm not, like, far from. You can still be in that realm of society and still be outside hanging with friends, Josh. Okay? Yeah. You can do both. I was, like, a baseball card collector growing up, but I still was on them streets,
okay.
Falling.
I also just made. I just took a shot at superhero guy right before we have Cecil Lammy on the show.
Perfect.
Crap.
Perfect.
We'll check in with Cecil from Orlando next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, let's get to Orlando where we find Cecil Lammy. He and Andrew Mason of Orange and Blue are out there taking in owners' meetings. Cece, let's just get into this, man. Sean Payton yesterday talking about a trade being realistic. The conversation Stoke and I have had, and I'm sure it's all the conversation down there, is the juice worth the squeeze? What do you have to give up to get there? And what kind of pro do you think J.J. McCarthy would be? Because that seems to be the target.
To be the target, I think there's a race between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, not only for the Denver Broncos, but for the Minnesota Vikings. And I'll get there a little bit later. But let's talk about the juice and the squeeze and all that sort of stuff. Does anyone remember off the top of their head what the Chiefs gave up to move up 16 spots for Pat Mahomes? No. Does anyone remember what the Buffalo Bills moving up 5 spots for Josh Allen had to give up? No. If you get your guy, and he is the guy, and he's the man, and it works, and you got a real franchise quarterback, then the price doesn't matter. So how far could you move up? Potentially two is on the move, but I don't believe Adam Peters is moving off that pick. I believe Adam Peters, the Commanders GM, will be taking Jaden Daniels from LSU. His pro day is tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to see which teams are there for the Bayou Bengals pro day. But I look at the situation of 3 being up for grabs, and 4 certainly is up for grabs. I talked to Jonathan Gannon today, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and, of course, Sean Payton yesterday saying Monte Okafor, their general manager, it's a good day to be Monte. Well, he was asked about that, and he's like, yeah, you know, that's Monte's deal. It's his season. I let him deal with that. We have discussed things, and whatever he decides, I'm good with. So, yes, there's conversations going on. Even George Payton admitting yesterday that he's had talks with most of the teams in front of Denver and a few of the teams after Denver. So move up, move down, but it's realistic to move up. And this is why, I mean, you have to, for the quarterback, if Sean Payton has found his guy, which could be McCarthy or could be Drake May, again, Minnesota and Denver are competing for 2 quarterbacks, and we're not sure which one each team prefers, that's what we got to find out next.
Cease, Josh and I are looking at this a little bit differently than you, and you're right. No one remembers what you gave up for Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Who cares, right? You hit.
Right.
The problem is, what happens if you miss, right? Especially in the Broncos situation, because if you move up to 4, say you move up to 3 or 4, you're giving up 2 first rounders and 25 and 26, right? And plus more picks, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Broncos roster is already so bad. If you don't hit on that quarterback, I'm nervous to see what the next decade looks like for the Denver Broncos.
Okay, Stoke, I'm going to throw it to you like
all
this.
Right,
how
buddy.
Many touchdowns you catch in your career?
Not
What's
enough. Should have been more. Should have been more.
Okay. All right. What if that quarterback, and it could be Peyton, it could be Trent Dilfer, then name your quarterback, right? What if that quarterback, well, anytime you throw a pass, you could throw a pick. Well, anytime you throw a pass, you could throw a touchdown, baby. Like, you've got Sean Payton, and it is Sean Payton leading the way. There is no doubt. There is no question. You've got Sean Payton stepping up to the plate, and you got to crush this. That's what you have to do. And if you're George Payton, who seems a little bit skittish is the word that I've used when it comes to first-round quarterbacks. I'm sure George Payton would love to move back into the 20s, perhaps get Bo Nix, although I don't think he would be there, and then, you know, oh, then you would collect more picks. That's what George Payton would want to do. But then what would George Payton do with those picks? Remember, you can get first-rounders in the 7th round. You can get first-rounders in the 5th round. When everyone's complaining, like, why is Cecil losing his mind because they didn't draft that 6'4 corner that ran the 4'2 and became a Pro Bowler and Deion Sanders' favorite corner in the league and Tariq Woolen? I hate to bring it up so early in the conversation, but it's like you can get those guys on Saturday when everyone's sleeping, when everyone's forgetting about, oh, yeah, the draft is still on. No, those are the days that you can crush it if you got the right people making those picks. George Payton knows these players. He had Isaiah Pacheco in the building for a top 30 visit, didn't draft him because he loves special teams. Forget it. You need the freaks. You need the guys that can hit. Sean Payton's going to step up to that plate. He's going to crush it if he, in fact, has found his guy, whether that's Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. So come hell or high water, that's likely to happen. And then you just look at it and say, hey, at least they took the swing, man. I don't want him sitting back. I don't want him. Let's trade back and let's collect picks. And we're so bad. Well, you wouldn't be bad if you hadn't screwed up the picks initially. Make better picks. Make better choices and be bold. Luck favors the bold. You're sitting around like, hey, don't expect much in life and then you'll never be disappointed. That is a poisoned mindset. It's a poisoned mindset for people. It's a poisoned mindset for a franchise to sit around. Oh my God,
Cease,
you know,
I'm scarred,
a lot of
man. I'm
round.
Scarred. Cease, I'm so like we're going up to bat. Like, yeah, you want to swing the bat, but like we're 0 for 20, man. It's hard to swing the bat. I'm so scarred. I'm so nervous. I'm so worried.
Yeah, it's fine, baby. It's
all
fine.
Right, I love it. Right?
We got
buddy.
Things for you when you're worried in Colorado. So just relax, sit back, and watch.
Talking to Cecil Lammy of DenverSports.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Cece, you've said J.J. McCarthy and you've said Drake May. How much yes. better and NFL ready are they over Bo Nix?
Yeah, and Bo Nix, Bonix is probably readier than both of those guys.
Oh,
honestly, if we're looking at it that way, like who could start day one? I have zero doubt that Bonix, who has been a first rounder for a couple of years, right? Not this hotness, like. And yes, JJ McCarthy is that hotness. You know, he wasn't considered a first round pick. I do not have a first round grade on him. Dane Brugler, who I think is the greatest draft evaluator there is from The Athletic, he does not have a first round grade on JJ. It doesn't mean he won't be a top five pick, okay, because it's about fit. But if we go on who's ready, May could need some time. Maybe that's a month. You know, maybe it's a week. Maybe it's half a year. McCarthy could use a whole year of seasoning if you wanted to. You don't have to. But Nix could start right now. And that's the thing. And that's why, like, if you sit there at 12, and God bless Mel Kiper, there's no me if there's no Mel. Mel Kiper said, oh, if the Broncos take him at 12, that's overdrafting him. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true at all. And you know, I all due respect to Mel Kiper, but it's not true to say you're overdrafting a guy who's been a first rounder for 2 years at 12 in a quarterback heavy draft. That's not true whatsoever. So if you just sit there and you take him at 12, you may be tempted to move back. But then if you move back and you miss on him, you're looking at Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler, and they're not great options. So again, be bold, get your guy. And if you want a guy that's ready to go week one, I was going to quote Fred Durst when I said that, ready to go. Anyway, if you want that guy is Bo Nix. And, you know, maybe that's not what Sean Payton does. I did ask Sean Payton yesterday about, like, when do you know, because he's talking about Jarrett Stidham, right? Oh, man, Jarrett Stidham, and he's got the potential and the upside. Well, I asked Sean specifically, when do you know if a guy's potential upside is that's still there or that's just who they are? In my opinion, we've seen enough of Jarrett Stidham. Four starts in his career. I don't need to see four more. I don't need to see four quarters more of Jarrett Stidham starting. He's a backup, everybody. Let's move on. Let's move on with the kid, whether that's May or McCarthy.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, let's go through this scenario here, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Say our guys get drafted. May, Daniels, Caleb, and all of a sudden, you know, McCarthy goes four. We just can't get up there to get him. And then the Giants all of a sudden take Bo Nix. So the top five guys are gone. And we're just sitting there like we couldn't get him. We couldn't make the move. People had more assets to move in front of us. We're sitting at 12. Okay, now we decide to move back. I know you hate it. We move back, yada, yada, yada. Is there another quarterback that you could say, all right, if that scenario plays out, I feel good about taking this guy? Is it Michael Penix? Or is it Pratt from Tulane? Is it Spencer Rett? Is there someone there that you would feel okay about?
Well, and here's the thing, Stoke. You always get me into this. That's why I adore you, Brandon Stokely. I'm not going to necessarily say this is breaking news. I will just say this. I would not put Michael Penix as high on the Broncos draft board as others, okay? Maybe that's the case. Maybe they totally love Michael Penix, which is fine. There's a lot to love about Michael Penix. He is a great passer. It's ugly, okay? It's left-handed and it's sidearm. It's an ugly release, but he can sling it. I just believe in what I know is that, okay, maybe he's not as high on their board. Now, it all comes down to value, right? So if the five quarterbacks in a row, the Broncos don't have anybody, move back. Don't move back too far, because I know other teams that like Penix. Now, New England does that, but New England would be in the scenario taking a quarterback at three. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, like, there is a tipping point where you could say Michael Penix is their guy, and I would back that play because it's a Sean Payton play.
Okay.
I just don't think he would be as high. If it's a move back and now it's 2025 and now it's Shadur sweepstakes, Joe Milton, you know, Tennessee kid, transfer from Michigan, rocket arm, has no idea where to put it, super smart, and very willing. You saw him at the combine during the throwing drills. He was kind of aiming, so it kind of, I don't know, perturbed me, because he was, like, aiming his passes, because he throws everything where he wants to throw it through the wall. You're 5 yards away, he wants to throw it through you. So Milton's got to learn that skill. He's got an absolute howitzer. I'm talking 85 yards in the air.
Wow.
So maybe like that sort of toolsy guy, smart guy, maybe that's more of an option if you do move back and you kind of punt on 2024.
He is Cecil Lammy. He is out in Orlando taking in the owners' meetings. You can catch his work. He and Mason out there at Orange and Blue and at DenverSports.com and their written thoughts as to what's going on. And he was with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Cease, as always, great stuff, man. We appreciate you making time for us.
Thanks, Cease.
Thanks, fellas. Be good.
There he is, Cecil Lammy. Let's react to a few things that Cecil had to say and hear how high Tom Pelissero is hearing executives talk about J.J. McCarthy in the draft. We'll do both next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Throw it down.
I ought to get my money back.
Get that money back, Broncos. Give us that money back, Russ.
Got to hit the draft. And that's what we were talking to Cecil Lammy about. He's out in Orlando. He's talking to all the movers and shakers, all the players that could be involved in a possible move up by the Broncos. A couple things that he had to say. He's all in on going and getting the quarterback that Sean loves, and that seems to be J.J. McCarthy. He also mentioned Drake May there. We don't have enough time to get fully into it, but you do remember the bad misses. He used Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes as examples, and they're great examples for his argument because, of course, you don't remember. Three Super Bowls is what you remember about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen being, you know, 1B in the AFC as far as top quarterbacks. But don't have to go that far to talk about Trey Lance, and you remember the giant miss that the Niners had. They were fortunate enough to find the diamond in the rough that is Brock Purdy, but I would give Cease a bit of pushback on that. Yeah, you don't remember the goods, but you certainly remember and scream to anybody that will listen about all the bats.
Yeah, about what it takes to move up. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't always work out. Certainly we moved up to get Paxton Lynch, right? And had to give up a little bit there to get him. That didn't work out. No. It didn't cost us like this will cost us. And that's the problem is, you know, and look, I don't want them to do that. I don't. But if they do it, you got to hit. You just got to. You got to be sure that this thing is going to work out as sure as you can be, mm-hmm. right? And no one knows for sure, but you just can't gamble here and miss. You just can't. You're not in a position to do that. The 49ers, they're in a much different position than the Broncos. Yeah. They missed, but they still had a really good roster, and now obviously they hit on Purdy. And it made his development a lot easier because you had Christian and, you know, Debo and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera there in San Fran. This roster doesn't even compare to what they have in San Fran. So you can't swing and miss here. You just can't and move up that much and give up, you know, two first-rounders in the future and, you know, probably a second. And that's just too much if you're in the Denver Broncos situation. Mm-hmm. And if you do it, you just got to hit.
And there's something else that kind of caught my attention that Cecil said when we asked about who's more NFL ready and we put Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix in the question, his answer was Bo Nix. And that kind of, again, I told you earlier, I'm out on moving up with the cost of future first rounds. And then I say, all right, if you're sitting there at 12 and Bo Nix is there and he is NFL ready, well, why isn't it just as simple as that? You don't have to move. You keep everything that you have intact. You have the extra couple of draft picks from the Jerry Jeudy trade. You're going to have a boatload of cash moving into 2025. You're going to have your full stock of draft picks, including a first rounder. Why not just roll with Bo Nix?
Well, I think the problem is, you know, if you love him, I mean, is he going to be there? Because you look at the draft and, you know, obviously the Vikings are trying to move up, it seems like. The Giants are there, what, at six?
Mm-hmm.
They you know, they're in the market possibly for a quarterback. And so you might have, you know, 5 for 5 there before the Broncos, you know, pick if the Vikings do move up. At this point, you know, if we sit at 12, I would love to be able to just sit at 12, not give up anything, and take Bo Nix right now.
Me too.
And 3 weeks ago, we were saying, what?
We thought it was a huge reach.
Right, for J.J. and Bo at 12.
Yeah.
And now that's just, I mean, this is just how this time of the year goes. These quarterbacks especially. And every year it happens. All of a sudden they start mid to late first rounders, and next thing you know, they're top 10 picks, and you better move up to get them if mm-hmm. you're outside the top 10. So I want to find a quarterback. I do. And that's the most important thing. But I don't want to give up everything to try to find that quarterback. And if you could just sit there at 12 and get Bo Nix, all right, Cecil said he's the most ready right now. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. That's not like the number one priority for me. Like, you got to play day one. You're ready to go day one. I want a guy to be around there for 10 years. So I'm not looking short-sighted about who's ready right now, who's ready this year. I want a quarterback that's going to be here for a decade.
Okay. I like that. Speaking of J.J. and his climb, it's continued throughout this week at owners' meetings, and NFL Network's Tom Pelissero furthered that point by telling us what he's learning by talking to the executives around the league.
Really interesting, because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially graph, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy. So a lot of drama still to come.
So there it is. That's from executives in Pelissero that it's McCarthy 2. So they're saying Williams 1, McCarthy 2, and then the Patriots have their pick of Drake May or Jake Daniels.
Yeah. All right, interesting. I mean, obviously Washington's got to take a quarterback, whether it's – and it looks like it was going to be Jaden Daniels, and now it might be McCarthy. One of those two is probably going to be the second pick of the draft. And I don't know. I think that would be a great thing for the Broncos if it is J.J. McCarthy.
That goes too?
That goes too, because I don't think they're going to be able to move up and get him. Now you might see a guy that they really like in Drake May, mm-hmm. that falls to them at 7 or 8 that they might be able to move up and get, just to move up a little bit and get. And at 3, you'd probably see Jaden Daniels go there at the 3rd one. So that might be a good scenario for the Broncos. I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out. But that's an interesting twist there. We weren't really, I mean, we haven't talked about, it's been Jaden Daniels at 2. Jaden Daniels at 2 to the Commanders. And now you got the twist there with the possibility of a J.J. McCarthy jumping all the way to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Harbaugh told us this, you know, months ago.
He did.
Like, hey, he's going to go 1. He said 1.
He started all this.
Yeah, and now he might go all the way to 2, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's the power of the month of March in the NFL and everything that gets told, be it a fib or not. It's interesting to follow. I like this text from the 929. You moved up to get Tebow, and that was a miss. And then they add, say that on the radio waves and see the pushback that you'll get. Was Tebow, I mean, playoff game, that's what everybody goes to, right? How much of a miss was it? It wasn't pretty, but they were able to win some games, like Angels in the outfield style, but they won some games.
Yeah, no, that was a miss. I mean, you want more from your first-round quarterback than, you know, just 1 year, mm-hmm. really, right?
How about all those jersey sales?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're looking to make money, I mean, but the 1 year was special. It was. I mean, how many memories do we have of that, 2011 team?
Yeah.
And how they were able to win some of those regular season games, the playoff game, obviously the pass to DT, the walk-off there. Some special moments, but
you remember that one.
Tebow as a success, no, because if he's a sixth rounder, but he's a first rounder. So I think you have to grade him being a first round quarterback, really only having that 1 year, magical year, but just 1 year. You want more, I think, out of the first round quarterback.
I think my biggest memory was a Miami game where they're down late, and it's one of those games where you come back and win. He threw a ball, was it Daniel Fells?
Tight end?
As a tight end. He threw a ball to Daniel Fells, who made a great catch near the goal line. But the ball, it wasn't
like
even a
saucer.
Duck. Like, it was a kickoff.
Yeah.
It was end over end. I'm like, how do you even throw it like that?
How is that even possible?
Did you throw it from the bottom of the ball? But that was an interesting text about the Tebow right there. And then we got another person saying, draft Bo at 12 and Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt later. And then you got a couple of young guys and see who pops.
I really like that.
I do too.
I'm not down on that at all. We saw it happen with RG3 and Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Right? They took RG3, second overall?
Mm-hmm.
And then they took Kirk Cousins, in the fourth round, something like that? And Kirk Cousins ended up being the better player. So I'm not mad at that at all. Find your quarterback by hook or crook. And it might be the guy at 12. It might be the other guy. You might develop a good guy. You can trade. I mean, all kind of possibilities there. So I'm not out on that. I actually, and I if that's the way it plays out, two thumbs up from me, for sure.
870 right there, onto something on the RamosLaw.com text
You just
line.
Never know where the quarterback's going to come from.
No.
You just don't. I mean, we've seen Kirk Cousins. We've seen Russell Wilson in the third round, Brady. I mean, there's guys.
Brock Purdy right now.
Purdy. There's guys that are drafted late that end up being really good quarterbacks, and the guys that are drafted early don't. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a hard thing to figure out, so... Hey, let's do it.
We'll hear a bit more from Sean and George Payton coming up at noon. But next up, it finally happened. The NFL changed their kickoff rule this morning. What will it look like? And one major change that came with it. Details coming up next. All right, a couple announcements came from the NFL this morning via the owners' meetings happening in Orlando. We learned about the hip drop tackle, the tush push being allowed, and what's the other one? Challenges changed a bit yesterday. If you win one, you can earn a third from head coaches. And they continue to change some of the rules in the NFL. One of them is something that's been discussed for a very long time, and it's here in front of us now, Stoke. They have changed the kickoff rule. As of this morning, they're going to adopt the XFL rule, a couple of tweaks to it, but for the most part, it's the same as what you've seen if you're one of the 16 people that watch the XFL.
That was good.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
They're gonna have the kicker kick the ball, and the offensive players, the defensive players are gonna be 5 yards apart at the 30-yard line and then the 35-yard line, and no one can move except for the receiver that's going to be the kick returner until the ball is caught. Obviously, they move to go catch the football, and once the ball is caught, both sides of offensive special teams and defensive special teams can move, and in hopes to create a little bit more action on the kickoff. Caveat to this, or another layer, if you will, onside kicks. Well, how the heck do you do an onside kick now? This one's weird. I don't care too much about kickoffs. This is when I go to the bathroom and refill my drink, so I'm not going to, you know, die on the hill of kickoffs, but... Now, if you want to try an onside kick, you have to announce it so that you line up in the traditional kickoff, onside kickoff formation. And the only other twist here is, instead of having 5 guys on each side of the kicker, you can now put 6 guys on the side where the ball's going, 4 on the other side. That was never allowed before by the NFL. But you have to announce an onside kick and can get an extra body on the side that you're going to put the football.
Okay.
It, love it, hate it. How you feeling?
I like it. I do. Obviously, they made some changes last year, and it's they were looking out for player safety, quote unquote player safety, player safety. Yeah. Okay, save it for someone that is going to buy it. And so they changed it, and they kind of got what they wanted. Not much action. Not much hitting. And but then you look at it and say, well, that's a bad play. That's a boring play. That play is meaningless. Like, all right, just give them the ball at the 20 or 25-yard line. Let's just move on. Which the kickoff and the kickoff return should be a part of the game. You shouldn't take that away. And so I like this. Let's see what it looks like. I don't know. It might be great. It might be awful. But let's take a look at it and see how it plays out and see if we can get some action there. I mean, there's so many big plays that can happen in the kickoff game, one way or the other. And there's so many talented kickoff returners out there. I mean, well, we all know Devin Hester and the impact that he made on games. What is it? Cardale Patterson is great at kickoff returning. So let's keep that a part of the game. I'm glad they're trying to do that. They want action. And so they are making it and making the rule and designing the rule so that we'll have more kickoff returns. And there's also... If you kick it in the end zone, they get it like at the 35.
30 to 20.
Huh?
To 10-yard difference, of depending on where the kickoff lands.
Okay, so you know, they're trying to generate kickoff returns and make it as safe as possible. So I'm on the side of, hey, I'll take a look at it, and we'll see what it looks like. But I like that they're trying something here because it was bad last year.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll give you that. They try something new because it's not working anymore. And I look at the kickoff again as a time to go to the bathroom, refill the cup, whatever it is that you're doing. And it's for the league to squeeze in an extra 30 or 60-second commercial. That's kind of what I look at it, and they want to keep that available for them in their revenue making, which obviously matters. But I don't know, Stoke. I'll give you that. All right, try something new. I don't think this changes the kickoff. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to have 10 kickoff returns for touchdowns in 2024. I just, it doesn't do much for me.
So, you don't think 10? I don't know what,
average?
Yeah, you got to look like 6 years ago.
Right.
And obviously it's a lot different now because you don't have guys fully running down there, you know, like they used to run down there.
Mm-hmm.
Full speed. Guess what? When you have a 15-yard head start and you're running full speed and you're running forward, the other guys are running backwards trying to block you, it's hard to block those guys, okay?
Yeah.
So it makes the return a lot more difficult. Well, now they're lining up 5 yards apart and you can't move till the guy catches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that says advantage kickoff return team. I don't know. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but okay, when you play it, when you lay it out like that, I think it says, hey, advantage to those guys now that they don't have to run backwards and try to get set up. And so it's going to be interesting to see the philosophies and what it looks like and some of the creative things these special teams coaches are nuts, by the way. And so all they do is sit there and think all day about special team stuff. That's it, all day long, right? And so there are going to be some fun, unique, creative ways that they're going to try to generate points and yardage. And I think you're going to see a ton of returns.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's going to be a lot better. But I don't think it's going to be any worse than what it used to be. I think it will be a little bit better. I don't know about 10, but, it's not just all about touchdowns. Hey, give me the ball to 50.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal, mm-hmm, right? And they're trying something. I'm not saying it's going to be this great play where we're all watching, but early on, I think you'll have a lot of eyeballs on it just to see what it looks like because it is different.
And I will say this, too, to your point of, all right, it's something new. Let's see what it brings. The Broncos have a guy, Marvin Mims. That guy's a dynamic playmaker. If he's going to get the opportunity, 2, 3, I don't know, maybe they're playing the Dolphins, and it's 10 opportunities he gets to return the football after a touchdown. I am intrigued by that. Marvin Mims touching the football more? Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Right. I mean, so you got a chance to, if you have, some great returners or a great returner, that's a big advantage for you. I don't know. I think the Broncos could use all the help they can to help generate more points in offense. And so one of those ways is possibly special teams. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like. Right. Now, it might be a complete disaster, but it might be like, that's much better than what we've seen. You're never going to go back, it doesn't seem. And they're showing it on the McAfee show, the XFL rule there.
You just all reversed.
Yeah, we're talking about a creative way to try to do something. That was pretty creative there. But I don't think we're ever going to go back to where it was before. Mm-hmm. We had guys running down there 100 miles an hour.
That's where the wedge buster dude just runs into 5 dudes. That's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so you're not going back to that. You're trying to make it safe as possible. But you still want that play to be a part of the game. We'll see what it looks like. But I think it's going to be a good thing.
I played special teams in my football career.
Yeah, what age group?
I was a wide receiver, and I played special teams. This is at Niver Creek Middle School. Shout out to the Eagles.
The Eagles.
We had yeah. That's what they played every time we scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So they played that twice.
Yes.
We had a special teams play that the coach called the Carlson Special.
Uh-huh.
So me and Nick Carlson were the return guys. The Carlson Special was told every time the kickoff was made.
Right.
The play entailed, hey, we're running the Carlson Special. So, Dover, if the ball lands in your hands,
uh-huh,
run over and hand it to Nick.
Oh. Oh.
And that was the play.
That was it.
And then
and
I just
get out of the way.
And then I blocked somebody.
Right. Just don't even block. Just get out of the way. Don't screw it up for us, Dover.
I could catch, but I couldn't run, so I just handed it to Carlson. So,
hey,
it's the Carlson Special.
Who
was
our coach?
Gutierrez.
Come on, Coach Gutierrez.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
He's also my six-hour science teacher.
Oh.
At the same time. So
okay.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, and that was when I was like, if I'm just a special teams catcher, maybe I just play basketball.
Yeah, I'll go to a different sport.
Yeah.
Smart move.
If basketball was it for me. If basketball's it for you and your bracket's already busted, well, don't worry. Our friend at Sport Clips are getting the second chance bracket going over at denversports.com/hoops. You can win $1,000 if you've already missed out on the 5K, plus a pair of tickets to every concert to the PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All up in Cheyenne. It's denversports.com/hoops, but get those entries in before the first game tips off on March 28th. Your second chance bracket, thanks to our friend over at Sport Clips.